Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mmm, beefy.
We haven't heard this one in a while.
I'll tell you what, if you're not Bozo the Clown, you're his twin brother.
Doesn't the ASU fight song just make you feel good?
No.
All right, Potter down, because it goes on, goes on forever. We are no. That's me. Don't you know to just shut that instant replay down? There we go. Oh wow, we've lost. There we go. There we go. Yeah, I don't know how to. There's probably a stop button here.
Got to be a stop button.
Yeah, hold on. Pause. Yeah, there we go. Well, you just stumbled on something there, Adam. Chad, Lindsay, Adam. Things that are better when someone else provides them to you, because you took a cheap shot at my haircut or not? I didn't hear.
Oh, no, it was raving review.
Rave.
We'll check the tape.
Exactly. How many people cut their own hair? Not many, right?
No, not even barbers. Unless, well, if the bald guys, the guys who keep it real short, I think they do it.
Yeah. What are you going to do about that? Because, I mean, your hair is dropping off dramatically. 3-4 years from now, you're going to just...
It's like the only thing I have going for me is my hair.
Oh, stop.
Everything else is
That's
going
it. It's everything else. Everything is it. Now, you suggested a sandwich.
Yeah, I always find that sandwiches made by other people are better.
Now, Lindsay chimed in. What did you say?
She gave me the eye roll.
She did.
I did not give you the eye roll. I just said I like to make my own sandwiches.
It was an I saw it. It was an eye
so
roll.
So do I, but I always just feel like sandwiches...
But I mean, okay, but she raises a good point on the amount of stuff on the sandwich. Maybe, you know, like you, you're an Al-Qaeda because you don't like tomatoes on a sandwich. What if somebody makes you a sandwich and the tomato's there?
I pick them off.
Yeah. What if somebody puts on excessive mayonnaise or not enough mayo, right? So do you want to kind of give some broad instructions? And they then make the sandwich, you just want to trust their skill.
No, I usually trust their skills.
Lindsay, you would rather make it yourself.
Yeah, just because I'm particular about what I want on it. Like, as far as lunch meat goes, I have a ranking. I like a specific amount of mayo. I'm kind of a, if I've got some red onion chopped up, I'm going to put that on there.
Ooh, red onion. Good. What is your deli meat pecking order? Let's hear.
I would say ham over turkey because most deli turkey tends to be pretty bland.
Boring. Over it's unnecessary. We could get rid of it.
I like salami.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't really venture too far out of that. I'll say this though, if it comes to sandwiches,
I would take a
good egg salad over anything.
Egg salad is good. I'm choking up over my haircut. I think corned beef is great. I think roast. What do you stand on roast beef, Carter?
Not bad.
I think it's fine. I think corned beef's better. I like pastrami better. Now you like turkey, right? If I remember,
I do like turkey.
You do like
take turkey over ham.
Oh, that's crazy. How about what are some underrated deli meats? I'm trying to think ones that I don't get.
You've got them really covered.
I think, yeah. Okay, what about if we go to the cheese category? Head cheese. Where do you stand on that?
I don't think I've ever had.
I don't think I have. I think it looks disgusting, right? Lindsay, you're more of a cheese connoisseur. What do you, head cheese? Have you had that one?
I'm looking at it and I know I've never had it.
Doesn't look appetizing, right?
It's a meat jelly made with the flesh from a head of a calf or pig.
Oh, that sounds good, right?
That's literally a meat jelly.
Yeah, no, I'm out.
I mean, I like jelly. I don't need meat jelly. I don't like bologna. I do like prosciutto. That's kind of my fancy.
Prosciutto.
I love bologna, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The old bologna and cheese sandwich.
The slimy bologna?
Oscar Mayer bologna? No, I'm out. I'm out.
That brings me back to my going fishing with
Dad. When you still had it?
Going fishing with Dad, you got a bologna and cheese sandwich with mustard and mayo.
And then I'm told Dad had caviar off to the side for himself, but he gave you the bologna and cheese.
The one that it probably doesn't taste like head cheese, but looking at it reminds me of head cheese, and I just can't get over that, is the mortadella. That's the Italian style. It looks like bologna. It's thicker and the same color, but it's got stuff in it, like olives and onions.
Mm. Now that sounds pretty good.
Doesn't look very good.
Do you like a spicy cheese?
Yes,
like
pepper jack,
mm-hmm. Right?
A soft pepper jack, though.
Where do you stand on Swiss or cheddar, Carter? Which one are you going with?
Whew, it depends what kind of sandwich I'm having.
Yeah,
turkey and Swiss.
Turkey and Swiss. Yes,
toasted a little.
So you can't have turkey plain, right?
It's just you gotta have cheese.
Exactly, but ham you can have. Ham's good enough on its own.
Ham and Swiss.
It doesn't need help. Your meat needs accoutrement. How do you spell accoutrement?
A-C-C-U? O-U.
O-U?
Wait, no. A-C-C-O-U-T-R-A-M-E-N-T.
I don't. That sounds.
Accoutrement.
Accoutrement. That sounds pretty good. Will this news be an accoutrement of the show, or is the show an accoutrement of the news?
Depends what day we're talking. Exactly. I think this is merely an accoutrement of the show today.
We have very good guests. Except,
big news to start it off, though.
Oh, okay. Let's get to it.
Well, you'll be looking for, it's going to hurt you because.
Work?
More than 500 pounds of marijuana seized by the Minnesota State Troopers in just the past few weeks.
From who?
A state trooper.
I need to find out.
Joke.
Like any true American, I was listening to Crosstalk with Susie. And Dave Lee.
Before you start.
Oh, yes.
Can I just say this? Yep. And a texter, rightly so, just called me out on this. The National Weather Service is mostly cloudy right now. I looked out the window. It's totally blue sky.
Yeah, fake news. Thanks a lot, Adam. Kurt Beckman would not have made that mistake.
Mostly sunny, 23.
So I'm listening to Susie and Dave, and it's good. It's all over the place. And at one point, Susie's like, I like everybody I work with. I like everybody here. And then 2 minutes later, somewhat on the same topic, but of a tangent, she goes, but I hate Adam Carter. I hate him. He hangs up on me, doesn't treat me well. I hate Carter. You know?
Actually, I hang up on him more than he hangs up on me.
Yeah.
Because he's such a grouch when you call.
Wow.
When you're out in the field.
Who's more of a grouch, you or her?
Oh, I am.
Yep.
See, self-exploration.
No, that comes after
that's
the show.
That's at night, I think.
Self-awareness, I think you were talking about.
I think I was, too.
He really likes self-exploration, though.
You know that thing we were talking about was the original topic about things that
are better. I think we got to watch this. So how much of the time do you like Adam? How much of the time do you hate Adam? What's your breakdown? We like to go 0 to 10 here. 0, you never hate Adam. 10, you hate Adam.
I think we're holding steady at about a 5.
5? So half the time.
I mean, seriously, yeah. I mean, 50, I love 50? The guy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I never know what I'm walking in on.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I apologize. I do.
Do you think he means that?
My mood affects. In fact, Susie's not the only one. There's people in this building who I've fallen out of favor with, I think because of my moods. And I apologize. I'm coming clean on the radio right
now. Yes? Is this more self-exploration?
Yeah. You got it.
Lindsay?
I'll say from my times in the newsroom, I was there for a year. You did never know which Adam Carter was walking through the door.
Well, I didn't mean to turn this into,
bash.
No.
Here's the thing, though, too.
Love Adam.
I am not a coming in, hey, everybody, hi. I'm not a hi guy.
Well, neither one of you guys are.
I'm just not a hi person.
You aren't either, Lindsay. Right,
so I just come
in. I normally
come in
a bad mood.
Doesn't mean I'm in a bad. Even when I'm in a good mood, I'm not like, hey, hi, hi,
hey, everybody,
hi.
Hey.
I just come in and
get her done.
Yeah,
you're very Larry the Cable Guy. I get him confused sometimes.
Him and Larry the
Cable. Yeah, I mean, Adam wears that
sleeveless.
He wears a camouflage.
Self-exploration? Get her done.
Get her done. What would you say to that? You know, what would you say to maybe get him to two, right? Because if you hate him half the time, what would hate him 20% of the time?
Well, if he'd bring me coffee, maybe.
Coffee? Adam, have you thought about that?
No, you know, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
Okay, I don't think you two actually hate each other. You just rub each other the wrong way. Like saying that you hate each other 50% of the time. You two bump heads.
I mean, I'm just taking her words. I'm just a reporter here. I'm disseminating information. I hate.
Hate is a very strong word.
I'm quoting her.
I'm sorry. I should say I'm irritated.
Irritated? They're neighbors. I mean, Carter, hate and irritated? I mean, they're cousins, right? They're pretty close.
Yeah. But yeah. I like him today.
So far?
Yeah, so far so good.
You want to stick around for another segment?
Sure, why not?
Should we do some more self-exploration? Let's talk to TV. We'll take our guests, and Susie will stick around.
Go ahead and read that one.
I think it'll lose to you. So you're smoldering. I mean, that's what I've always said that, but I'm not going to read the rest. As we bring Susie back in the conversation, can I mention our guest? Tom Hauser, another smoldering man. He's going to join us at 12:35. Mike Freeman, 1:10 on the concealed carry reciprocity. We might dabble into some other areas. Jamie Yuccas at 1:35, and today is day number one to win a pair of tickets to sit with the three of us. We'd love if you'd show up, too.
What's the night?
March 28th, the Wolves and Atlanta Hawks in a suite. This isn't just regular seats. This is very la-di-da.
Remember the last time we were at the suite for the Wild game and Quinny and I went up and down the elevator?
Oh, yeah.
Escalator?
He's going to be there. He is going to be there. He would love to have all of you. We're going to have to do a background check on some of the other folks. How did you feel today went, the last couple days?
Oh, filling in?
Yeah.
You know, it really is kind of strange that it comes very easily to me.
Yeah. You hold know, on. Can you pop the instrument playback up for a second? Because, I mean, that's a hold on.
Oh, that's not nice. I don't mean it like cool.
Adam, comes very easily to me. That yes or no? Did that deserve a la-di-da?
No.
Well, oh, now okay. Now you're. Now he's like, you're the greatest. He's afraid. He's you know.
You know what? I enjoy hosting.
You're very good at it. I mean that.
But I want to stay in the newsroom because I want to keep my job.
So if tomorrow, Shannon calls me up and says, "It's been an okay run. Hit the road." And you see me walking out with my box. And then she says, come on up, and offers you the job.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
I would say in writing,
yeah.
I would say I'll take it, but I want guarantee in writing, legally locked in.
Yeah.
That if
$500,000?
No, not even the money. Just that if at some point in time you decide that you don't want me on that shift anymore, that I go back to the newsroom automatically and my salary stays the same.
She going to get that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But I've been pretty lucky so far, man, around here. Remember KCCO Business Radio, and they sold that. They could have canned me then. I mean, I've...
What was that thing, by the way?
Hey, man, we did good work back then.
What was it? Remind me again what it was.
You're such a snark.
I'm asking...
It was a business radio show
yeah.
that we did at in the morning and at night. Rita yeah. Maloney and I, and yeah. Rocco Bonella was my producer,
right.
and Gary Ullman was her producer. Wendy Paulson was a program director. Dick Carlson, guy who died, used to be our
I'm making
manager.
Fun of the guy who died.
No. It yeah. was his brainchild.
Yeah.
But we interviewed CEOs. We did market reports. We built that thing from nothing. No one even looked in that room. We started the day after September 11th.
Really?
Yeah. Bad time to start
that's
a business
not,
show.
That's not good.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So
what you'd like to get is that guarantee?
Yeah.
Adam, if you're the boss, are you giving her that guarantee?
No.
Why? I'm a utility player.
I think that's a bit, if you go to this side, uh-huh. I don't think it's an automatic. So would you then turn it down?
Yeah.
You would then? Lindsay? They lead me out. They say it's your show. But they say, okay, it's your show.
No
if
net.
If it doesn't work, we're going to make a change. You're not guaranteed to go back to the newsroom. You're not guaranteed to go back to producing.
I'm not making Susie Jones money, so I wouldn't have to have a guarantee.
Yeah,
it'd actually probably be beneficial if they were like, "We're just going to let you go."
You'd rather be let go than have the show?
No, well, I'm saying if I do the show and then they were like, "This isn't working out," I'd be like, "Well, I'm not going back to producing, So I'll just go.
Adam, I'm assuming because we're good friends, you'd say, listen, I can't. I mean, you let
no.
You let Chad go. I can't step in.
Do I get his salary too?
Yeah. So in other words, you might be leading me out the door.
Would you run?
Would I get a mention?
Oh, of course.
How many years have you been here, Chad?
9.
Wow.
What does it feel like?
No, it's 9. That's fine. But
Carter?
How
many years does it feel like?
That doesn't feel like 9, actually.
No.
Well, not quite 9. So started in 2009.
Right. I remember the big change. That's when I went back into news.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I have no resentment.
Carter, I mean, did that sound like there was
a little tinge?
No resentment. Give us, before we have to go,
okay.
Give us a one piece of Valentine's Day advice for people out there who are, should they have their present already?
Can I just tell you, Chad, I hate Valentine's Day. I
hate Valentine's Day.
I really do.
Quickly around the room. Lindsay, hate, love, or don't care about Valentine's Day?
Impartial. Don't care.
Don't care. Carter?
Indifferent.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great invention. I mean, right, Adam? I mean, the fact that how much money made off this baby? Right. We got to come up with something that's, you know, April 14th. I mean, May 14th. I mean, that's another great invention that they've made a lot of money on. Okay, so what? You hate it?
I just don't like the pressure of it. I just, you know, it's manufactured.
Yes,
and
it
is. A bazillion-dollar business.
It is a bazillion-dollar business. Mm. How about some of these stories about all the scams?
Yeah, I know
that are going on
about that.
Yeah,
yeah, that happens a lot. If you're lovelorn and want a man in your life, and some dude on Tinder says, "If you just mail me a check for $500, I'll come go on a date with
you."
Well,
I watched Carter. I watched this story on CBS this morning. Tony DiCoppola, about a very successful woman, not a kid. She met this person online. Adam, over a short period of time, she sent him $1 million. $1 million, and it turned out it was a young kid from Nigeria. And at one point, when he finally divulges who he is, said, "Can we keep this arrangement going?"
At least he had some, you know.
Some chutzpah?
Yeah, that's the word I was going for.
Thank you, Susie.
All right, have a great day.
Susie Jones, Adam, Lindsay, Chad Hartman with you. Hauser after traffic, weather, news. Plenty of topics to discuss with our friend Tom Hauser from Channel 5. Check out his work on a regular basis. Let's start hockey, sir. Tell me about tracking down what you found out about some of the video of Bill Masterton. Bill Masterton, it's a story that hockey fans all know, would have his life taken, and it's a little more than, you know, 40-some years ago now with
It was 50 years ago.
January 13th, 1968, he would pass away 30 hours some later. Tell me about the video you found, how you found this.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. You've been around television and radio, and you know how, unlike newspapers, things are not archived.
No.
Like on microfilm.
Correct.
Microfiche, and then put in some little tiny, you know, corner of a room, or now all digitally, you know, on computers. You know, film was bulky and took up a lot of space, and it degrades over time, and it's expensive to develop and process and edit and all of that. But Hubbard Broadcasting has done a great job of preserving almost everything we've shot for, what, 70 years?
Yeah, that's great.
It became so burdensome that they donated much of it to the Minnesota Historical Society, along with some money that was donated to help them catalog it and look and see what we have, because it's a monumental task just to do that. So periodically, I go through as they continue to update the database, and I am able to, you know, plug in certain keywords to, you know, look for things. And when the 50th anniversary of the Masterton story was coming up, I plugged that in, and it was interesting. The first thing I found was an interview with the coach of the Philadelphia Flyers about when they were in town a few days after Masterton died. He was here, and he was interviewed about, well, do you think players will start wearing helmets? And so what I didn't find anything from the game, so then I just put in North Stars, and lo and behold, came across January 13th, 1968, Didn't say anything about Masterton or anything, so I requested it. It takes like a week or two to get it back,
mm-hmm.
the actual film clip, have it digitized and sent back. And lo and behold, we had a minute and 11 seconds of the first period of the game in which he died
yep.
From the injuries in the first period of that game. So it was kind of a needle in a haystack type of thing, but we found it. And what's remarkable is that his son, Scott Masterton, who still lives in town, 53 years old now, he was three when this happened. He had never seen film of his dad playing for the North Stars.
Wow. That's great.
He died in his 38th game.
And I was reminded of this, Tom, with the story, which is available at KSTP.com. You can track this down. That Bill had retired. That he was out of hockey for a number of years and that Ren Blair convinced him to come back.
Yeah, I mean, imagine that. You're about 29 yourself now. So imagine...
28.
If 28. Okay, so you're out of hockey for 4 or 5 years, and then the general manager of an expansion team calls up. You're working at Honeywell. You've got two young kids at home, and he says, hey, how would you like to come and try out for the Minnesota North Stars?
An expansion team.
An expansion team. And he had been an accomplished college hockey player at the University of Denver. He was the captain of the team. He was on the U.S. national team. You know, so he was a national champion. He was drafted by the Montreal Canadiens back when they only had six teams. So you can imagine the depth chart on the Canadiens then. They were winning every Stanley Cup every year, so he couldn't make the team. So he decided, well, I'll go another direction. Starts working at Honeywell, like all of us do when our dreams of playing professional sports. We go find something else to do.
Yes, correct.
And then he got a chance to come out of retirement, and then tragically, that first season he's back, he makes the team.
Yep.
He scores the first goal in franchise history in the team's first game, and then 38 games later, he suffers injuries and dies. And tragic, but the positive side of this is that here we are 50 years later, the Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy is still handed out to the NHL player who shows dedication to the game of hockey, perseverance, and sportsmanship. And for a number of years, and I'm not sure if it still happens now, the high school players in Bloomington would get Masterton scholarships. In fact, I ran into a guy at my health club yesterday who said, hey, I saw the promo for your story. I want to watch it. I got a Masterton scholarship back in 1983.
That's great.
And so it's amazing. Here we are 50 years later, and Bill Masterton still having an impact on the game of hockey. So if anybody wants to see that, as you mentioned, it is at KSTP.com. It's also on my Facebook page and Twitter and just about anywhere you look.
It's well worth checking out. You did a very good job with that. Let's get to a number of items, including the news that came out yesterday. Chris Coleman, the longtime mayor of St. Paul, the very popular mayor of St. Paul, who is in the governor's race, obviously on the DFL side, is out. Is this all because of what happened with the straw poll? Is it money? And how surprising is it?
You know, it's surprising to people because he's a fairly big name, longtime mayor of St. Paul. But when you look at all of the metrics, things were not looking good for him. He was not doing very well in the public opinion polls. He did not do well in the caucus straw poll, finishing fourth, and maybe fifth if you include uncommitted that he finished behind. And so, I mean, that just isn't good. He had raised a lot of money. That was the one metric where he was doing well. He was like second or third in raising money. But I just don't think he saw a path forward because he is one of the so-called metro liberal-leaning candidates.
Yep,
whereas
for sure.
Tim Walz has more the moderate center taken. And Rebecca Otto, also considered kind of a metro liberal, she did much better than Coleman did. And, you know, Erin Murphy even beat him by a slight amount, you know, and she's a state representative from St. Paul, but she beat the mayor. And, you know, I think he just looked at what was happening, and he did not really see a clear path to victory without a hard-fought and very expensive primary.
Rebecca Otto last week, when she and others were reacting to Tim Pawlenty and what's going on, talked about some of the financial issues and also mentioned the bridge collapse. There's no proof that Governor Pawlenty's policies played any part in the bridge collapse, correct?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a completely uncalled for cheap shot.
But I guarantee you, if former Governor Pawlenty runs again, you will see television commercials that will show the bridge collapse, and they will blame him for it. It would be one of the most unfair, dirtiest campaign accusations you could make. You could talk all you want about, are we spending enough money on infrastructure and highways and bridges, but that bridge was going to fall down with or without Tim Pawlenty.
Yeah, and I mean, Nick Coleman came out in the Star Tribune and went full blast in his criticism and had to finally walk that back. Again, there's many issues if you want to go after Tim Pawlenty. And he's an adult. He's going to have to take that. But this one, the proof just isn't there.
Yeah, because that bridge, I believe, as I recall, was built in, what, the 60s.
Right.
So you would have to then, I guess, trace it back to everybody who has served as governor and in the legislature since then up until the time it collapsed, if you're going to assess blame in that way.
Is there any scenario where Pawlenty doesn't enter the race?
Well, yeah. I mean, there always is. But, you know, it sounds like the meeting yesterday, you know, he was encouraged to run. I think there's not a lot of enthusiasm on the Republican side for the existing candidates. Jeff Johnson is a very good candidate, but a lot of people look, well, he ran and lost to Dayton once already. Do we want to go down that road again? And maybe they think Tim Pawlenty is the guy who can raise the money, who has the name recognition, to be the Republicans' best hope.
So we're still in an odd spot with Michelle Fischbach. Is she a senator? Is she a senator and lieutenant governor? Take me through this lawsuit and what it means going forward.
Well, as you know, it was dismissed yesterday in Ramsey County Court and fairly quickly. I just covered that hearing last week, and I thought maybe there'd be a little more time before Judge Guthman made his ruling, but he essentially said, look, I don't even have jurisdiction here, and the woman who brought the suit didn't have standing to bring the suit, so he dismissed it on all counts. None of this means that this legal battle is over. It could still go to the Supreme Court, but at this point, she remains both lieutenant governor and senator. However, the Senate hasn't convened yet, which it will do on February 20th, a week from today, so until she starts voting and acting as a senator, we don't really know what impact this is going to have.
So I had Governor Dayton on, actually it was the Friday before the Super Bowl, and we covered a lot of that. But in the end, I also said, Tom, I said, what's going on with you and Senator Fischbach or Lieutenant Governor Fischbach? I mean, are you meeting? Are you having any conversations? And he was like, well, we're friendly. Obviously, we're not talking day to day. What's going to happen, Tom, once the legislative session starts? I mean, will he just operate as if he doesn't have lieutenant governor, since, you know, one's a Democrat and one's a Republican?
Well, I think we're gonna find out what we all have kind of known or suspected. There's not a lot of official duties for a lieutenant governor.
Right.
In the hearing last week on the Fischbach case, the funniest line that came up was that they talked about, well, what is the official duty of the primary official duty of the lieutenant governor? And I forget who it was. I think it was the attorney for Fischbach said, and he was quoting a famous line from, I think, the presidential politics many years ago, the official duty is to inquire daily about the health of the governor.
Right.
Because if the governor were to become incapacitated,
yeah,
or die in office, then Fischbach would become governor. So that's an old line, and I forget who first coined it, but it was when talking about the vice president, inquiring daily about the health of the president.
Right.
And that's really what it comes down to. So it's not like like Governor Dayton can't function without a fully cooperating lieutenant governor, because the person in that role really has no official duties. They do a lot of ribbon cuttings, they
mm-hmm.
do a lot of, you know, outreach around the state, but he certainly isn't going to get that. He can't say to Lieutenant Governor Fischbach, hey, can you go represent me at, let's take an extreme example, at some...
Worthington. Center 4 hours away?
Or on some issue to represent him at an organization where they support abortion rights.
Yeah, right.
Can you go and speak on my behalf because I can't be it? Well, she's not going to do that.
No.
I mean, she's about the most anti-abortion, one of the most anti-abortion people in the legislature. So there's going to be some weirdness like that. But the whole thing is weird. But it's also all of Governor Dayton's making because he decided to choose his lieutenant governor.
Yeah,
to replace
you're right. 100%
Senator
right. So I looked up. I looked up that line. As it turns out, you reported that when John Adams said that about George Washington. So I mean, actually, you. I mean, it was early in your KSTP days.
I thought you were saying that my job as a chief political reporter is to inquire daily about the health of the male news anchor.
Yes, I mean, it could be.
If he would have become incapacitated, yeah, maybe I could step in and get my big chance.
This is just my side. You should be in that chair, but that's just me. Rick Nolan. What I mean, was this a total shock that Nolan said, hey, it's been nice. I did it once before. I did it again, but I'm done.
You know, it was not a total shock. You know, I was surprised, but after reflecting on it for about 5 minutes, I realized that, you know, he's 74 years old, mm-hmm. I believe. He's in great health, as far as I know. He's got probably more energy than you or I do.
Yep.
It's remarkable how he can keep going. He's been a fighter. He's defended that seat now a couple of times. But I really think he's gotten to the point in his life where family is, it's always been most important, but now it's like his only priority, especially with his daughter, Catherine, you know, battling non-smoking related lung cancer. And I've done a fundraiser for them, IMC'd, and they both spoke at an event last year. And I know he is very dedicated to helping her with that, raising money and awareness of the need for research for non-smoking related lung cancer, and really all lung cancer and all cancer in general, for that matter. And so when you think about it that way, he really wants to spend, it sounds trite, you hear it all the time about, oh, he wants to spend more time with his family.
Sure.
Literally on Friday when he came back into town, he said, tonight I'm going to Vadnais Heights to watch my granddaughter play basketball. And then tomorrow I'm going to watch my grandson play down in Northfield. And that's what he wants to do. And you know,
nothing wrong with that.
When you're 74 years old,
yep.
Why would you want to, especially when you're in the minority in Congress, whether that's going to stay that way after 18 or not, we don't know. Why keep banging your head against that wall when you could be spending all this quality time with your family?
I got about 90 seconds that I have to get out. Tell me about this press conference you're going to see here in about 10 minutes. About what's coming up with the legislative session.
Yeah, this is an annual thing that is put together by the Capitol Press Corps. We will meet with Governor Dayton and the legislative leaders about what their priorities are for the coming session. And a couple of things we anticipate hearing is that, first of all, they have to restore the legislature's funding.
Yep.
That was vetoed.
Minor issue. Yep.
Unceremoniously, and they'll likely get that worked out. The federal tax bill changes some things at the state level that could mean the state will have a big windfall, meaning we'll be collecting more taxes from people than Republicans would like to see. So they've got to make some changes in state tax law. And so those are going to be a couple of the big items. There will be many other things, but they're going to kind of preview what is on their mind this year, and we'll have reports on that tonight on 5 Eyewitness News, kind of looking ahead to the legislative session that starts 1 week from today, a short session. This is very late. By normal standards, it'll just be a 3-month session. We'll be out of here by May 20th, in theory.
Yeah, I was going to say, in theory, I think is a key.
But it's
part.
An election year, and it's not a budget year.
Yeah.
I can't think of a reason why they would go to a special session.
Don't underestimate them.
I've thought that before, and then I've been sitting here in July.
Correct. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Chad, anytime.
Excellent stuff with Tom Hauser, as always. 52 past 12. A reminder, at 2:10, the first of our 6 pair of Wolves suite tickets. I'll be there. Lindsay will be there. Adam will be there. We're going to have some fun. Wolves in the Atlanta Hawks, and you get a chance to see the game in a suite. We're going to do this at 2:10. All you have to do is through a text or through Facebook or through a phone call, reach out to us and tell us a funny story. Funny story about yourself, funny story about your family, funny story about work. You can do it facebook.com/Chad Hartman Show. You can do it through a text, 81807, or a phone call at 2:10 for excellent seats in a suite for a game on March 28th. Your Lindis construction time check is 12:57. Time to improve the look of your home with Infinity by Marvin Windows. So be sure to listen at 2:10. Next hour, two good guests. It's a Tuesday. That means Jamie Yukis at 1:35 and Hennepin County attorney Mike Freeman in about 10 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.